Today we're going to dig into Overflow, which is our series. We're going to dig into overflow through obedience. And more importantly, the obedience to serve someone, obedience to the moment and obedience to the truth. And we all understand what it means to serve. We all understand what it means to perform duties, serve others. Our dream team serves, our greeters serve. You may exercise this verb with friends or family, but how is obedience the key to an overflow? And how does Jesus handle the moment that we just saw of not just serving, but betrayal and the truth of his calling even without the disciples? Hey, Harriet. And what does this mean for us as Christians or folks getting to know Christ and wanting abundance or blessing or increase in our lives? Our first text is John 13, verses 1 to 17 is what you just saw, but I still want it to be shown on the screen. And as I read, Antoine, if you could just give me some cover music, that would be great. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. The first part of our time together is strapped around overflow because of obedience. Jesus is at a festival celebrating God's deliverance, knowing he's about to be the key to the next wave of deliverance from sin. He knows his time is up, and he loves his disciples. Judas is prompted to sin, but Jesus knew all things were under his power, and his return to God was imminent. He knows that for the overflow of purpose to happen in his life and for his disciples to get it, he had to serve, not just here, but with his life on the cross. While knowing the history, the Passover, the present power was his, and knowing his capabilities, and the scenario of his adversary, Satan, was right there taking over Judas, in the midst of all of that chaos, Jesus decided to serve. First, let's look at what Jesus is showing us. In order for him to have the overflow of becoming the Savior, he has to serve others. And when he serves, it's not a scenario where everything is calm and serene. He's serving in chaos. I can't expect to have the overflow or the presence of God, whether it's a financial move or something wonderful happening in aspects of my existence, unless I'm willing to serve. Serve. How can I serve, Pastor? You can help out your family. That's how you can serve. You can volunteer at church. You can volunteer at church. That's how you can serve. Later on, we'll have an opportunity later on this month and next month where you can donate items to those in need. That's how you can serve. You can send an encouraging note or text. That's how you can serve. You can deliver a meal. You can help others shine. You can pay it forward. The Bible says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various grace. Matthew 23:11 says, the greatest among you shall be your servant. The question I'm going to ask you this morning was, when was the last time you served someone? And when you served, did you have to tell everybody that you served? Did you tell the person that you served them? You saw what I brought you this morning, didn't you? No. Okay, let me move on. When you served, did you do it when everyone's around, or did you do it for a sacrifice? Can you serve when you still have things going on in your life? Can you serve when everything is not sunshine? Can you serve when you know what already has happened in your life, what is happening, and the good part hasn't happened yet, but at this moment, God is calling you to be Him for someone else? I can tell a little story from my personal existence where I was at a really, really low point. I lost my teacher certification because I thought, because I was a black man, that they was going to just keep on letting my certification go. I wouldn't have to go back to school. Right. So single man, own house, first time. Did I tell you this story, Dad? This your first time hearing this? Oh, he going to be mad. First time, like I got all together, but everything started falling apart. And I was still going at another church, and I was just, like I knew the bills were piling up. It was the summertime, so bless God, they wasn't charging me for gas, but it was still rough. And I was waiting for a specific financial blessing to come through, but it was just hard. And all I could do was focus on myself. So I went to a church outing, and my deacon at the time could see something was wrong with me. He's like, yo, man, what's going on? Are you all right? I was like, no, it's just rough right now. It's just rough. And I was what's called, I was a congregational caregiver at this church. So that meant that whenever something was, you would get a list of people. And when they came to church, your job was to call them, check on them, pray with them, make sure they were okay. But I hadn't been doing that because I was focused on me. I lost my certification. I was in the mode of almost losing the house. Like everything was about to fall apart. And a deacon said, listen, I don't know what's going on, but I know it's rough. But when you are at your point of needing the most, that's when you need to serve. I started calling people. I got home that night, looked at my CCGs, called them. Called folks, and the testimonies were crazy that folks just needed to hear from somebody. And I called and prayed and called and prayed and called and prayed and called and prayed. Now, I'm not going to tell you that what I needed turned around that next day. What I am going to tell you, I'm standing here as a testimony that I didn't lose my house. I'm standing here as a testimony that I got certified. I'm standing here as a testimony that I ended up working in another school district. Now, it didn't happen immediately, but what God set in motion was, listen, just because it's hard right now doesn't mean you still can't be a vehicle to serve. And what I want to challenge somebody this morning in the text is Jesus did this in the midst of all this chaos. Can you serve when it's hard? Can you serve when it's rough? Can you serve when nobody has the picture to post on the gram? Or can you serve when you got to wipe away your own tears knowing somebody else is in the middle of crying? And can we take a note of how Jesus is serving? The Bible says he disrobes. He positions himself to help those who have been helping him, pouring water in a basin, washing and drying his feet. Disrobing doesn't mean that his place as Christ is devalued. In the Old Testament, the priests would never disrobe to handle their duties. They stayed in their garments because holiness and the decrees of God dictated that they keep those clothes on. But here, Jesus has come to complete the law. So he didn't need to put on a garment to be holy because he was holy. And it was embedded inside of him. So him putting himself in a position to serve was not devaluing his position as Son of God and soon to be sacrificed for our sins. Some of us won't serve because we believe that disrobing of a title will devalue who God has called us to be. Or some of us won't serve because our current situation is our title and we won't take off our drama to lend a helping hand. Your greatness is not encapsulated in the elevation of a position at church, on a job, in a firm. Your greatness is demonstrated by who God is and who God says that you are. Your current drama is not your robe that you should keep on when it's time to serve. Your current discomfort is not what you need to wear to shield you from helping somebody else. So the willingness to serve only elevates the fact that I'm not great because of what's on me, but I'm great because he's in me. We should be encouraged to serve based on what Jesus has done for us. Jesus served Peter through washing. And then Peter says, I'm understanding that you're doing this because God, you want me to be with you. And is there a witness to this truth that because Christ was obedient to serving, you are all the better? Oh, it's in the room. There's obedience because Christ was obedience. Now you have an overflow of grace. Because Christ was obedience, you have an overflow of love. Because Christ was obedient, you have an overflow of peace. Because Christ was obedient, you have an overflow of the Holy Spirit. So no matter what is going on, I can still serve. But I know it's quiet in here because some of us have PTSD from serving. Because Jesus serves and washes, even though he knows about everybody in the room. He wants them to be a part of him. He's aware that their next behavioral steps will not echo that truth. Look at the feet of the people that Jesus has to wash. He has to wash the feet of those who will leave him when it gets difficult. He has to wash the feet of somebody who will deny him later on. He has to wash the feet of the one who will betray him. Many of us have served before or helped someone else in return, but we have an expectation of a different result. Alexander Pope says this, "Blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed." This is the mentality that we take into serving. I helped you, and you still did me wrong. I helped you, but you still won't change. I helped you, and you still have something to say about the help you received. I helped you, and you still decided to go back and make that life choice that you called me to help you out of. And the honest emotion in the room is what you're thinking to yourselves. If I knew you were going to act like that, I wouldn't have helped you in the, amen. Jesus is serving to show the disciples the example to follow. Watch this, and what they should do, but you're doing it not to change somebody's current behavior. So I want the overflow to happen in my life. I have to serve, but that means I have to serve with those who I don't agree with, who won't see eye to eye to me, and sometimes whose actions won't line up with my own. So that means I got to wash the feet of the Israelis and the Palestinians. That means I got to wash the feet of the racist and the sexist. That means I have to wash the feet of those who are making gender decisions that don't line up with the will of God. That means I have to wash the feet of the one who had my name in their mouth and still talking about me on Red Talk Table. I'm sorry, Will, I had to talk about you this morning. But I'm not helping you. I'm not serving you to change you. I'm not serving you to shame you. I'm not disrobing to join your cause or be like you. I'm serving because my Savior told me that this is what he's calling me to do. I'm serving because Jesus just didn't wash my feet, but he washed my soul. I'm serving because the Savior of the world and the God of the universe considers me every day. So with that knowledge, the least I can do is serve you. If you believe that, why don't you give God a praise this morning? The next part of the text is obedience to the moment. Obedience to the moment. It starts at verse 18, and I thank you for your patience because I am doing a lot of reading this morning. It says, Jesus keeps on talking. He says, "I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I'm telling you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in the spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him. So Jesus told him, "What you're about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had been in charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once." Obedience to the moment. Jesus moves from serving to another level of entering in this text. His overflow is going to happen because he's obedient, but there's another component. It's balancing the tension of being able to handle a moment. In verse 18, he ties the scriptures with the current state of his life, and he is confrontational. He says, "I know those I have chosen, but the scripture has to be fulfilled, and someone who is sharing the bread with me at this moment has turned against me." Jesus is saying at this moment, "I just served, but someone is going to exhibit behavior that is antithetical to what I just did and to who I am." Jesus doesn't turn a blind eye to what is being done, but Jesus shows duality in the text. He announces that this is occurring, and he confronts it, but he shows grace to the offender. "One of you is going to betray me, but I'm not going to say your name, because if I do, you won't make it out of here in one piece. One of you is going to betray me, but if I say the name, I'll take the focus off of the scripture being revealed." And sometimes it's not that we can't serve. It's not that we can't give. It's not that we aren't productive, but we missed moments. And we don't let God guide us when the room is full of tension and the moment calls for confrontation and grace. Daniel held the confrontation and grace in the Bible. He continued to pray out the window, but when it was time to get called on the carpet, he didn't bow mouth the king, and he still went to the lion's den. The Hebrew boys didn't have confrontation and grace. They decided they would not bow down no matter what happened. They didn't bad mouth the king, and they even said, "God, even if God decides not to pull us out, we still will serve him." When the room is heavy, will you be obedient to confront and show grace? Can you balance confronting the behavior and have the fortitude not to put the person on Front Street? Can you know what they did, call out the behavior, but not return the same energy because that's not what God called you to do? Can we be obedient at the moment when I know what you're planning? I know the activity is against me, but God has not released me to put hands on you. And too often, we don't handle those moments well. We talk too much when quiet is necessary. We keep our heads down too much when we need to look someone in the eyes. We shy away from standing up because we're afraid of doing what is right. We want to take a bat to everybody in the room when that is not what we need. We haven't taught our children how to handle the tension. That's why gunplay is so prevalent, because confrontation, grace, and de-escalation is not pushed. We haven't mastered, "I don't like what you did," and saying that truth and leaving it there and not pressing the moment so that it becomes toxic. But Jesus is not going to abort his destiny just to go off on Judas. How I handle those moments is a reflection of whether or not I really believe God is in control. Verse 3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus trusted God's plan that the offender was going to be used for his purpose, his plan, and his glory. If I don't trust that God is in control, then when I confront it, I gotta be physical. If I don't trust that God is in control, I'll show too much grace and I'll shrink from the moment. God is in control. God is confrontational when it comes to your and my sin, but God shows grace and mercy when it comes to exposure. God is in control. God is not pleased with our activity, but does not blast our stuff out to the world. And knowing that God is in control gives me the insight that this is painful, but it can be a platform to my elevation. If you never did that to me, then I wouldn't have experienced this aspect of God. If you never betrayed me, then I wouldn't know that God is my best friend. If you never caused the tears to fall, I would have never experienced the comfort of the Holy Spirit. If I had never taken the lost here, I would have never experienced the regeneration of God to give me more than what I had previously. If you never messed over me, then I would miss out on the peace that I've been searching for my whole life. If somebody believes that, why don't you give God a praise this morning? My challenge to myself and to you is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when moments like this show up. You may not like the activity, but it could be a setup for further elevation later. The actions need to be confronted, but grace means I know that God has a plan. And going outside of God's will, even when someone is wrong, is just as bad as the original offense. There has to be maturity, and when you balance moments, that means confrontation and grace. And the last point as I look to take my seat is obedience to the truth. John 14, 32 to 38 says this, "My children, I will be with you a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. New command I give you, love one another as I loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Obedience in serving, obedience in the moment, obedience to the truth. Jesus says, "I'm leaving here and I'm going and you can't come." That's the truth. "Since I'm going, I need you to love each other, and that's who you're going to be identified with." That's the truth. Peter wants to follow, but Jesus says that this is the part of the journey that I have to go it alone. Alluding to this truth that the only one that Jesus can depend on is the Father. Obedience to the truth when it comes to overflow happening in your life. The truth is, loving each other is how we are identified in the body. The truth is that you are a part of a journey that sometimes you gotta sojourn with just you and God. There's strength in the community of believers, yes. There's a place for you to partner in ministry, yes. Because God creates us to be communal. But sometimes in a season of overflow, part of the journey may just be with you and God. Nothing's wrong. You've given. You've handled the moment. But some of us don't want to go to that next step because God already shown you the next steps is where everybody can't go with you and you will be alone, but you won't be because God will be there. The next steps for Jesus has him praying in a garden, not alone, but talking to his Father. The next steps have Christ crying out on the cross, not to himself, but he's talking to his Father. Your next steps, your overflow, your new season, your elevation are all attainable, but you got to come to grips with the truth. Some people may leave you because they're seeing what God is doing through you and it's too much to bear. Some people may leave because they can't associate with you anymore. And they'd rather be accepted than be ostracized by choosing you. And they want the comfort of the crowd instead of going with you when you're calling. And that's okay. Because maybe in this season, God needs to thin out your room so that you can hear him. Yes. Perhaps God needs you alone with him so that the vision can be downloaded correctly. Perhaps you can't discern the sin in your life because the room is too crowded and folks tell you that it's okay when God is saying it may be okay for them, but that's not my plan for you. Later on, the relationship with Peter will be redeemed. Later on, the disciples who run away will be restored. But the truth is that now, overflow can happen. But this time, it'll just be with you and God. If we put our hands together and give God some praise real quick. So what I wanted to do in this moment, you want to make sure you're around. You just don't sit by yourself. I think. So what's happening right now is a little bit different. Some members of Resurgence Family are passing out some baby wipes. I'm explaining. Y'all like baby wipes? Give me a second. So as they're going to pass them out, they're going to pass them out. Everybody should have some. Everybody should have some. My lovely wife looking at me. What you cooked up? Aha, I didn't tell you. The praise theme is funny. Y'all expressions be like. So, and if you still need some, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand and folks will come around and make sure you have what you need. Thank you, Reagan. Come on, the mount. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Make sure you give one to my dad who decided to sit by himself. I don't know why. The man of God said, I'm going to sit in isolation. Yeah. Go ahead, Sister Cherise going to sit next to him. All right. Oh. So I want us to go through this practice to have this moment of serving each other. And I want you to do is take the baby wipe and take the hand of the person sitting next to you. Some of y'all are real uncomfortable. Y'all like, hey, I ain't plugging into this. Take the hand of the person next to you. I want you to wash their hands. I want you to wash their hands. Listen, and while you're washing it, there is no expectation of any kind of return. Because the text lets us know we're washing and we're serving and we're being a blessing because that's what he commanded us to do. So just take a moment. Just take a moment and wipe the hands of those next to you. And while you're wiping them, you can tell them that you love them. While you wipe them, you can tell them you're happy that you're here. Side note, y'all need to see Sister Alexis up here. Look, she got one person on either side of her. She got her hands out like she getting her nails done like this. But I really want us to encapsulate the moment of it. Two things, because many of us don't, some of us are used to serving. Many of us have a hard time receiving it because some of our self stuff. But if we're plugging into God, family, service, and destiny, one of the main things is plugging into a God that loves you tremendously. And if Jesus showed us the archetype of this is what we need to do, you want to make sure that we do it. Did everybody wash? Did everybody do it? Uh-oh, come on. Oh, bless God. I thought she was going to come up here. I was going to wash her hands, but you got it. Come on, you got it. 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 And when you consider these moments later, remember that your overflow starts in with your serving. There's always an opportunity to be a blessing. Amen? Your overflow is tied into how you handle moments. Because the moments that take us higher are those that are bereft with tension. And you can't always go to whatever your mnemonic device is from your area code that you used to grow up in to go handle business like you used to. Everything don't take, oh, I'm going to put, no. But also everything doesn't take you keeping your head down as well. Christ handled the grace of it and the confrontation of it. And then the hard part of this text is the truth. There may be a portion of your next step because, Lord, I want overflow. Lord, I want to be elevated. Lord, I want you to do something special in my life. In order for him to get that next level of Savior, everybody was gone except him and the Father. And you got to be comfortable with God thinning the room. That doesn't mean something's wrong with you. Doesn't mean he's not there. Doesn't mean you're weird. It just means he's really drawing closer. And he doesn't want any other noise in your ear besides his voice. If you believe that, why don't you give God a hand of praise this morning? If we could stand and take out our communion cups, prepare for portion of our service where we focus on communion. I see you, Sister Payne. I can see your pink over there in the corner. Bless you. Resurgence family, we have okay. This, if you don't have a communion cup, if you can just raise your hand, we'll make sure you get one. These are newer cups. For those of you checking the viscosity, they're newer cups. Well, I love y'all, but y'all funny. If we can get our bread ready. The Bible declares, does everybody have it before I get started? Is everybody good? Anybody up top? Anybody? We got one more. I don't want to start. I'm just looking for a thumbs up from are we good? Okay. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it and broke it. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which has been broken for you. Let us eat. Then he took the cup. He said, this is an example of my shed blood, which will be shed for the remission or the removal of your sins. Let us drink. Bible declares they've left this moment singing a hymn, but for us, we're just going to give God one more hand of praise. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Belinda to come on up. She's going to lead us in the rest of our worship experience.
Amen. Amen. Obedience. That was good, Pastor. Obedience in the moment. That point right there. Amen. If that bless you, let's give the Lord a hand of praise, and you can take your seats as the lights come up slightly. Amen. We just want to thank you again for joining us in worship today. We are so happy to have you here with us at Resurgence. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you are here for the very first time, we're going to ask for you to fill out a connection card for us right outside at our connection center. We want to stay connected with you, and that is the best way, is to start by filling out that connection card. There are also many ways to stay connected with us. You can follow us on our social media outlets. There's our website at www.resurgence-church.org. But the very best way, guys, and I say this every Sunday, the very best way is our Resurgence Church app. If you take out your camera phones right now and point it towards the screen, it will direct you to connect with us through our app. Or you can go to the My Church app, find it in your Google store or your Android or your Apple store, and find the My Church app, download it, and then search under the church name, Resurgence, and hit connect. There you will find our podcast, all of our events. There's announcements done there. So when we have Sabbath Sunday, when we have different things that's going on, you can find all the announcements there. So please, ma'am, please, sir, download our app. It's very interactive, and that is the best way to stay connected with us at all times. At this time, we're going to prepare our hearts for giving. There are many ways to give to Resurgence as well. You can give through our text to give option, where you text the word give to 833-921-7084. You can give through our website at www.resurgence-church.org. There is also a giving QR code on the screen, which will take you directly there. And there's also an option in our app. So if you have downloaded our app, that is very easy to go to our giving section. At this time, we're going to ask for you to prepare your giving as we play the announcements. This will give you some time to get that done. I know in the past we've been rushed through where some folks have said they hadn't had time. So we're doing things a little bit different. We're going to give you the options or the ways to give. Then we're going to play our announcements, and then we're going to come back and do our giving declaration. Amen. So as you're preparing your giving, you can listen to the announcements. Big,
big, big. Let me tell you what I'm saying. Keep it going.
Gonna tell you, see.
What do you see?
Say, come back to me.
Come back to me.
You got a dream, you see it. You see it, get it in your mind. Then tell us. Say, come back to me.
Come back to me.
Big, big, big.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl Alexis, and this is Church in 60 Seconds. This week, our pastor talked about productivity and how we all have something to give. Don't hide your gift under a bushel. No, let it shine. Join us next week as we continue our Overflow series. We are Resurgence Church. We get plugged in. Peace.
Elevate your style and support your church community with our exclusive church t-shirts. Available for just $20. These stylish tees are a must-have. Grab yours after the service at the Connection Center. Show your love and faith proudly. Get ready for a fantastic day of fun and fellowship at Lynn Villa Orchards. Join us on Saturday, October 28th, and bring your family and friends along for an unforgettable experience. To register and secure your spot, simply scan the QR code on your screen now. For more information, don't hesitate to reach out to Sister Alexis. Let's make cherished memories together at Lynn Villa Orchards.
Amen, amen. While the QR codes for giving is on the screen, I just want to give you a little bit more information about Lynn Villa. Guys, we are excited about Lynn Villa Orchards. I am personally excited because I love their apple butter. It's so great. And their apple pies are amazing. But no, we're excited about having this day out. We have our own hayride. So even if you don't have children, come on out and have fun with us. You can be a kid that day, because it is so much fun at Lynn Villa Orchards and see all of our kids playing and enjoying themselves. And like I said, the shops are amazing for the food. So please, ma'am, please, sir, don't hesitate to register. If you have any questions, Sister Alexis is here, and she will be outside to answer any questions that you have. But it is this coming Saturday at noon, but you just have to register before. So it's available through our app, and if you have any questions, Sister Alexis can help you with that. Amen. So at this time, we're going to stand and do our giving declaration together. Amen. It's going to be on our screen. Amen. All right. Say it with me, guys. We are 100% tithe givers. All of our needs are met. Our debts are paid in full. Our families are blessed. This is the year of supernatural favor. Because we say it, we see it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for this day, God. Thank you for each person here at Resurgence this morning. Lord, bless the giving, Lord. Bless each and every person who decided to give, God, and they're giving out of obedience to you. Lord, we pray that you will bless each and every one of us as we leave this place, God, but never from your saving grace until we meet each other again. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week.